If you're a visitor, welcome. I'm Adrian, one of the team here, and going to have a bit of fun as we look at a passage this morning. And I'd just like to pray. Is that okay? That's a good thing to pray, because Father's here. And so, Father, we love you. We look to you for your grace through Jesus. We welcome your presence by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, come, we welcome you. Jesus, we lean into you. Jesus, we lean into your goodness. I invite you to do that. First time, 100th time, lean into Jesus. Engage with him. Jesus says of himself that he was the Word. Actually, he's the living Word. His words had spirit and life. And so, Lord, we need your spirit and your life in us, through us, on us. Oh, God, come. Come, Jesus. Thank you. Isn't it great? We can trust him. As I listen to him, I say, Lord, what do you want to say? He says, you can trust me, Adrian. That's always good. The other week, he actually said to me, I trust you, which like blew my socks off. I trust you, Adrian. I thought, because he does. Anyway, so I'm Adrian, and we're being on the series almost at the end of Acts, looking at an apostle called Paul. But I also just want to, before we look at that, just celebrate. Can you sense the transition that is going on in the church? Not so much of team members, but the transition of life and heart. So God has spoken to us over the months about changing us from civilian. Maybe we could describe civilian as like casual. We love Jesus, but you know, God is about mobilizing us. And when he saved you and I, he called us into an army. And now some of us take a while to realize that. We think, Jesus, I want you to make me feel nice. When actually Jesus says, I want you to go and transform the world. So God has been mobilizing us as a church about being alert, about being ready. And, you know, I get the sense that's what it was like when the disciples followed Jesus. You imagine, you get to follow the guy that makes the bread multiply or fills your nets with fish. Hey, this is a good guy to have around, isn't it? Jesus like does stuff that means you could take the day off and have a good meal at the end of it. But then Jesus says, and actually Jesus was good. If you were in a storm, you want Jesus in the boat. But then Jesus says, now you go. Now I'm going to send you. And then he starts to say some stuff that was difficult to understand and challenging. Oh, Jesus, we just liked it when you make the bread. But now you're sending us. There was that whole sense of mobilizing for the disciples. So we're in good company, aren't we? But this sense of mobilizing has always, you read the Bible, it's a book of mobilizing. You read the Apostle Paul, it's a book of mobilizing. If you like, the apostolic age, the book of Acts, is all about a mobilizing. The church appearing on the scene, then being sent to the Middle East and those nations. And there was always that sense of tension. The disciples wanting to gather in Jerusalem, let's keep it here, and then God blows it apart. But you know, there was, if you jump right back to the beginning of the book, at the beginning of the Bible, there's a brief story about people that wanted to gather, and they built a tower. And mankind says, we want it our way. I know God said, fill the earth, but we want to like fill the city and build a big tower up to God, the Tower of Babel. We want to keep things together. God has said, go. They said, we want to build together. And then we jump to Acts 2. I mean, God judged that, building the city, keeping it together. We come to Acts 2, where God poured out his spirit on all the people and scattered them. And says, right, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And it's really important that the disciples and we catch the sense, it's not about gathering and building, it's about scattering and going. Because that was something they got wrong in Genesis, and there was a danger of it in the book of Acts. It's all about being poured out. In the last days, my spirit is going to be poured out. That's God's heart. I'm going to fill the earth. But Lord, capture us up in it. It's not about what can I store in a jar. It's about what can I pour out. That's the gospel. Jesus was poured out. The Spirit was poured out. Friends, is that our Christianity too? Or are we wanting to like, let's store it. Let's keep safe. Let's lock the doors. There's a nasty world out there. Jesus says, go. And he breathed on his disciples. Leave your comfort zone. Leave your place of birth. Leave your people. Leave where it's safe. I want to take you into some challenging situations. Maybe that's just literally across the room. Or maybe it's across the planet. And anywhere in between. And again, you know, when you think of being apostolic, which is what we own, God is growing us. Apostolic, apolos, means being sent. Okay, so we are sent. Being an apostolic church, think, what's that mean? It means we are sent. Okay, so being an apostolic church that is sent, it strikes me, if you are sent across the road, across the room, across the nations, if you are sent, you have to leave somewhere to be sent. So sending always means a stepping out of and away from. You with me? So being sent is all about not staying in the same place of comfort and security, building the tower, gathering the church. Being sent is all about taking the step. So it may not be a very fast step. It may literally be to the person next to you at the desk or in your neighbor or across the road. So it doesn't mean huge amounts of travel. But sometimes the travel is all what happens in here. Being sent is, okay, I step into something. I step forwards. To step forwards, by definition, you leave something behind. Even one step forward leaves something one step behind. And I think God is growing us. If you think about maturity, a child, a baby, a child, a teenager, an adult, it's all about taking a step forward and leaving something behind. Hopefully, by the time you reach 21, you've left some of the immature ways that you had when you were one behind. Oh God, grow us as a church that we mature too. Are you up for that? That's what being an apostolic people is. Mature people, being sent people. Put it another way, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yeah, that's what Hebrews says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That doesn't mean I had an historic faith. I had faith in Jesus in 1973 or whatever it was. It's not that faith. It's an ongoing, dynamic faith. It's impossible to please God. So I want to put it to you, where are you leaning into where you need to find faith? Because otherwise you're not pleasing God. And I find in myself, well, I like to build safety. I like to build a tower. I like to keep it all here because I can like see what's happening. And I don't need God for that. I just need me to be like creative and organizing. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think God is calling us to take a step out of our comfort zones. That's where you need faith. And that's where we please God. If we keep it all safe, I don't need to find faith to keep safe. And if I don't need to find faith, I'm not pleasing God. So I want to talk about this morning of stepping forwards. Or more particularly, I want to talk about ending. And I don't think I've ever heard a preach about endings. Maybe there was a funeral and we talked about endings. See, as a church, as a family of churches, as a sort of like spirit-filled Christians, we love talking about, let's go for it. Let's take the journey. Let's step forwards. And like I say, every step forwards means there's had to be an ending. But we don't ever talk about then. In our culture, if something ends, we say, oh, that's a shame. Oh, that's disappointing for you. That ended. It's like endings is bad. So, oh, come on, let's step into. Friends, every stepping forward has to come from an ending. Every ending leads to something new. And friends, our faith, isn't it, in Jesus, who's the ultimate ending and beginning? He was before the beginning, but he also ended on a cross, but he then rose again, and now he's a new beginning. And because of him, our endings can become renewed. The whole Christian faith is a story of a guy in a tomb that is risen to life, an ending and a beginning. So I want to talk about endings. journeys. Paul is on a journey. He's been traveling around the Middle East, Greece. He's now coming back through Turkey. He's popping into Ephesus on the way back because he wants to get to Jerusalem. And we'll read a little bit later from Acts 20. But as I've read this passage, and Dave unpacked a bit of it last week, for me, it just shouts out endings. And so I want to learn, see if we can learn some things about endings today. Put it another way, if we're called to follow Jesus, when you follow someone, I mean, if they're standing still, it's not very following, it's just like standing. Jesus didn't say stand, he says follow. When you follow, there's a dynamic sense of direction and movement. There's been an ending because I've left something. Otherwise, I'm not following. I'm just standing. So I want to ask you, what are you following? What are you leaving? What are you stepping into? What are you calling God? I need faith, like Paul, to reach and travel and touch the ends of the earth or my neighbor. So let's think of some endings you've had. A room this side, we've had dozens and dozens of endings. Every one of us, we have endings. We ended primary school. Some of you... Oh, they're all out, aren't they? Some of folks are going to end primary school very soon. Some of you perhaps can remember that. What about the ending of when you moved out from home? What about the ending when, okay, I've got to get a job now. The dosh from mum and dad has stopped. The pocket money is finished. What about the ending where it was no longer you being driven, but now I get to drive? And okay, what about the ending when someone close to you left? The first death you encounter. I'm still fortunate that my parents are alive, but I can remember other relatives dying. The first time you encounter death as a human and comes close to you. Do you remember the endings? We have relational endings. People move away. And we think, we were so close then, but it's long since I've heard of them. Ministry endings. Okay, if you're in ministry, if you're in leadership like some of us are, okay, the church is full of endings because people that are close move away. And gosh, that is really hard. Perhaps you've never thought about it. But when people move on, when they feel stirred and called, different places, actually that costs. Saying goodbye, we don't want to hold, but man, that is like something that, it's a piece of us that goes. Now we bless people. It's part of life. But like I say, most of our culture sees endings as, well, that's a shame. Oh, that didn't work out. No. Actually, it fully worked out, but God has. God has opened up a new door. We see ending as failures. So this passage we're going to look at is all about endings. So Paul comes to this Ephesian church. You looked last week, he was compelled by the Spirit. He's compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what's going to happen to me. It's like I've got an inner compass. I need to get to Jerusalem. You say, Paul, you're crazy. You're going to get, it's not going to end well. He has some prophecies. And isn't that amazing? He didn't get crushed. The prophecies were like, don't go. Paul says, no, I do go, and I find confidence that God is with me. Friends, sometimes with prophecies, we can think it means safety, because we've got a bias to safety. Sometimes the apostolic call and the prophetic is take a risk. Let's always be wise that we don't try and coat prophecies because we want people to feel safe. Paul says, no, it means I'm going to go. I'm compelled by the Spirit. And there's going to be hardships, but I'm going to finish the race. He's got an ending in his mind. I need to finish the race, complete the task. I need to complete the task. Friends, have you got that sense of an ending will come? I need to complete the task. It can be a short task. It can be a big task. For Paul, it was a life task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now he starts to unpack endings. He acknowledges grief and pain. He talks three times in the passage about tears, warning with tears. At the end of the passage, they're like sobbing their hearts out and on the beach. Friends, endings are painful, but that's okay. If they're not painful, actually, then perhaps they're a little bit, what's the word? Not surreptitious. They're a little bit shallow. Endings that are meaningful cost. That's sometimes why we do everything to avoid them. Those of us that are emotionally wired, pastors among us, you don't like endings. So what do? We try and keep things going. And we try and keep people in a post or doing something. We don't like things that might finish and disappointment. So we like trying to keep cover over it. When actually sometimes we're better saying, this is going to hurt. Please would you stop? Oh Lord, help us have wisdom. Sometimes, friends, with our own kids, there needs to be an ending, okay? There's going to be an ending. There's going to come a time, and it's coming next week, next month, whatever, when we're not going to tidy your bedroom, okay? Or we're not going to do your washing. Or you need to go shopping now. You need to get a job. We are not. There has to be an ending. Oh, what are they going to think? There needs to be an ending. It hurts. Ending has to be final, or it's not an ending. Okay, Paul knew there's an ending. I'm saying goodbye to this church. There's an ending. Now, if it wasn't an ending, it's not final. It's like, okay, I'll pop back. It's like these bands that do a final world tour. A final world tour. Okay, let's do another one. Actually, we keep coming back. Paul was emotionally connected. He sobbed it. They sobbed their hearts out. I can remember some friends we had at uni, some Christian friends, and as we spent our last Sunday with them before moving back up to this side of the world, in the street we hugged and prayed and we sobbed our guts out. They were dear, precious friends. We said goodbye. We don't know if we're going to connect again. Friends, when we're in church and ministry, this isn't a business venture. Friends, this is not a business venture. Church is family. When family moves, when family strains, when family moves, when things change, it's going to hurt. As the church grows, oh, Lord, it's costly because we're relational connected. There's a book that John Piper wrote, Brothers, We're Not Professionals. That's not just Christian ministers, but all of us. Do we see, okay, we keep the Jesus bit, we keep a polite distance. I don't want it to get too close. Because what if people hurt? What if people let me down? Friends, that's what Jesus calls us into. Relationships that open us up to vulnerability. People will let us down. What's the alternative? Fences, walls, gather, build a tower, and we know what God thinks. Deuteronomy 32 talks about an eagle, a parent eagle, breaking up the nest. Imagine the conversation we have with the eagle. Imagine what safeguarding conversations we would have with the eagle. Is that wise? What are you doing? The poor eagle, your babies, that's like cruel. You need to be on some register for this. You can't shake the nest. What's the parent eagle thinking? You're destined to fly. You are destined to fly. Unless I break the nest, you're going to perch here for impetuity. You are destined for something more. Friends, endings mean for that eagle what a fear appears to be like, but means one day they get to soar. What if God is planning your endings so that you get to soar? Okay, maybe we start to see life from a lens of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God, give me faith. I see this is about me soaring. Oh, thank you, God. So here's Paul saying goodbye, breaking up the nest. I wonder, parents of young uns, old uns, what are you doing to break up the nest? Oh, that's costly. But what are you doing? Friends, if we don't pay the cost, we will pay the cost. And we find our 35-year-old still doesn't know how to do the ironing or something. Have you noticed, all of us, endings come when we don't feel we're ready for them? God seems to have a higher expectation of us to endure endings than we think we're ready. We think they're not ready for it yet. God says, oh yes you are, you're going to grow. Here we go, eagle, time to fly. And we think, God, I'm not ready for it. God says, yes you are, you're going to groan. This is your moment. And he grows us. God's got a higher estimation of our ability. Another thing about endings and this apostolic mission that Paul takes from, he says, keep watch. Keep watch. And one of the people he says keep watch over is yourself. Okay, at times of endings, Like, who do we look to? Who is it? I said, look to yourself. And he reminds them, this is your shepherds of God's flock. You've got God's call. You're God's anointed. Know who you are. Friends, endings shake us to think, okay, who am I? Who am I? What am I about? Suddenly I haven't got so-and-so to help me. Okay, I've got to find who I am. Friends, that's a growing opportunity right there as we know who God has made us to be. But often we need the endings to find out. I am an eagle. I just thought I was a squawky bird on this. I am an eagle. Yeah, and that was, I needed the moment of breaking up the nest. Friends, do you know who you are? Or more importantly, do you know whose you are? In an ending, that's when we find. You see, if I've got it all controlled and organized and within my limits, like I said earlier, I don't need God. I don't need too much faith. But I don't get to find out what God has made me and called me to. Gideon, if he stays at home in the wine press, okay, I had a nice encounter with God. An angel said some great things to me. But friends, he goes to his father's house, he destroys an altar, he gathers an army and defeats the Midianites. What ending might God be wanting to take you through for a victory like that? And we can endure endings like Paul did because he knew there was a plan. There's something bigger going on. A mature church. Wow, we can endure turbulence and change in the church and joy and fun in churches as God blesses because there's a plan. Ah, great, isn't that good that there's a plan? I wonder, are you keeping going with a ministry area where, well, if I don't do it, who will? If I don't turn up, what will happen? I can't let others down. We see endings to be avoided. But that way, there's no space for anyone else to grow. There's no space for little chicks to learn to fly. Paul sees endings, even, he says, watch out, there are wolves among you. Now, straight away, okay, the pastors are thinking, Paul, this is not a good time. You need to find out who they are. You need to have a theological discussion. You need to, like, get them off at the knees. You can't go if there's wolves. I mean, how crazy is that? Imagine here, we're about to start something and say, actually, this is going to go terribly. There's likely to be some wolves amongst us. This is going to go. Say, maybe this is not a good time. Let's reconsider. Paul, why don't you stay for a couple more years? Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem. There's an ending. There's some wolves. But here's the thing. He had confidence in the words of God's grace. And what gives us confidence in endings is who we are, who God is, and the word of his grace. Confidence in the word of his grace. Have you confidence in the word of his grace, or are you leaning into, I need to make sure I can do this? I need to make sure I've got this sussed. Friends, the word of his grace is the guaranteed word of God's provision, that we are chosen, we are called, we are equipped, and we are free. And no matter what I do, when I'm following God with faith, I please him, and he's got my back. Wow, what? I've got nothing else to prove. We're free. Friends, do you know that word, that confidence in the word of his grace? Or is it, I think God needs some hands here. These people aren't ready. I mean, they need me. I mean, let's be honest, they need me. Jesus said, the true word of grace stands in heaven, reigning over your and my life and this church. We trust in the one who outlasts all endings. Jesus Christ, that we said earlier, he knew the ending of his life. Now he's risen to new life. So every ending I have, he's well able to trump the card, whatever we're dealt with, and say, I've got hope. I've got breakthrough. I've got kingdom. I've got life. I've got eternity. Friends, is that what you lean into? Because the opposite is, just need to keep it safe. And he's like, what can Adrian manage? What can I sort? He guarantees, Jesus Christ guarantees, all our endings will have a new beginning in him. And that's the promise of the risen Son of God. Our endings, our failures, our mess-ups, our traumas, everything that we disqualifies, God says, I'm the cross, through the cross, here's the breakthrough, here's the step through, here's the advantage. Even the ultimate death that comes, the ending that all of us physically will face, Jesus says, trump, you come to new life. And one day, actually, that trump card will see death destroyed. It's not like, okay, there'll be something the other side. Actually, there just won't be any. Because Jesus has risen, all of us can know that same victory. Isn't that great? I wonder, how much confidence do I and do you have in the word of his grace? How much confidence? Friends, we find that out when we get under pressure, when we find endings, because we don't like to let them go. And so we wrestle and hold on to them. Because really what I'm saying is, I'm not sure I can trust you, God. I don't know if I can step out across the room, because what if? Oh man, God, would you show me and lead us? God's leading us into new life. Parents, how much trust do you have? I'm talking to myself here too. How much trust do you have in the word of his grace for your kids? Man, God, help me. Okay, two of our kids have left home. How much trust do I have in the word of God's grace for him in their lives? What's the alternative? I control. I shut down. I'm fearful. God, I don't want that. So God, I've got to lean into your grace. How much trust, parents, do you have in his grace? Here's another thing, guys, ladies too. How easy do you find it to have a day off? How easy do you find it not to check your emails? I might be needed. You might be. But doesn't the Bible talk about taking a rest, a break? Call it a Sabbath, if you will. Call it time out. Call it time to refresh. How easy do you find it to have a day off? Friends, we find out when we're trying to do that. Well, God needs me to keep this thing going. The universe might stop spinning if I take a day off. I better take my laptop on holiday. I better keep in contact. Friends, the whole point, I think a significant part of the Sabbath, the rest, taking a break, is that we find out who's on the throne. Actually, God is well able to have it covered for 24 hours while I take a step back. Ah. Now, there may need to be some plans if you're running your own business, and I understand there's things you might need to do. But the lie is, I need to be needed. That's not trusting in the grace of God. That's not letting go. That's not an ending. And Paul knew what it was to step into this ending. I think to the extent that we trust God's grace is to the extent that we can enjoy time off. Well, I just need to check. I just need to check. Are you strong in the word of his grace? Lord, will you show me where I'm not? Show me where I am, show me where I'm not. Because Paul says, actually, it will give you an inheritance. It'll give you an inheritance. What's that inheritance? Of a life built in God. Your resource. You see, something that gathers for ourselves, like some orphan king trying to keep it, is not very good as a resource. Because we don't want to share it because I might need it. I need control. But someone who has learned to trust the grace of God can walk into 1,000 people or 5,000 people and say, I've got enough food to feed these people. Someone who's trusting the grace of God can get into a boat in a storm and know that God says we'll go to the other side. Someone trusting the grace of God can lay down their head at night knowing God has got this covered. Like Paul, even when there's wolves. He says, you're given an inheritance and it will build you up. Friends, do you want to be built up? Oh, I want to be a man, a woman of stature. Friends, it comes as we lean into the word of his grace. That's an ongoing thing. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, okay, I seem to have come around to this gateway so many times. Lord, help me. I want to trust in you. And then we have some breakthrough. It's a step forward. Sometimes you find there's a suddenness of, oh, we're through this bit. just like the disciples. Read the Gospels. There's breakthroughs and then there's pressures. And it's like God is, he's changing us. He's at work, and it will go on and on and on. Some of you have started following Christ fairly recently. And another thing, actually, I think sometimes in following Jesus, as church leaders, we've not made it very clear. Sometimes the wheels fall off even when we're following Jesus. And the lie is, sometimes we think, I'm following Jesus and now it's all gone wrong. I'm full of doubt and fear. I don't know if I can do this. And we think, oh, that doesn't happen to anyone else. We've not talked about endings. Sometimes endings are a season. And I'm breaking through from something and it feels like I'm through, but then I'll step back. I'm through and step back. That's what happens when you're following Jesus, friends. Sometimes it feels like all of heaven is open. But sometimes it feels like all of heaven is shut. Ah, friends, we need to be open about those endings and dyings. And sometimes, because that way we help other people who are growing into it. Otherwise, if we give the impression, I'm through, I can't meet that. So when I travel around and do prophetic ministry and stuff, which I love doing, pretty much every time I will start with saying, hey guys, you should have seen me a couple of years ago. I wasn't feeling very happy. I was feeling like upset with the world, with everything, with everyone. Oh no, I'm feeling cross with myself, you know, and with God. I just was not feeling in a good place. But friends, God came to me, and if God can find me and lead me, then he can lead you. And I want to say that because otherwise people think, oh, you're prophetic, you live up here. But if I can show that I've lived here too, and I hear God, then they can also hear God. Otherwise, if you think I live up there, I don't live up here, I can't hear God. So friends, we want to be accessible. Do you talk about your endings too, your struggles? Oh, this has been painful, this has been hard, this is how I find breakthrough. Friends, that's a way through. So our goal as leaders, isn't it, to build people up. Here's the thing. One way we do it is give people choices. So someone the other week, bless them, I was asking about, should I listen to this sort of rock music as a Christian? Okay, wouldn't it be easy to say, okay, here's a list of good bands, here's a list of good alcohol, here's a list of not good, here's a list of drugs that you can take, like caffeine, but here's a list of drugs that you can't take, like, wouldn't it be easy to give lists? Actually, Jesus gives choices. And so I said to the person, rather than, okay, don't be defined by what you listen to. Ask Jesus, Jesus, does this please you? And friends, you might get a different answer from someone else. Oh, Lord, I want to follow you. What do you think about listening to Black Sabbath? Or whoever. God gives choices. Friends, we lead people to maturity by giving them choices. I love how the prodigal, you know the story of the prodigal son, the father, he gave his son a choice. Actually, the father, at that moment where the son says, I want half the inheritance, father gave it him. Rather than giving him a lecture, hey guys, just sit down, I need to tell you three things that are not going to bode, this doesn't bode well. The father gave and the son were headed off. Friends, is that how we are, or are we controlling? We're keeping it tight. You need to stay here. You're not ready to go. You don't fully understand. You've got to keep this, save it for much later. Make an investment now. All the conversation we would have had that's really about keeping them. The prodigal, the father said, here you go, and let him go. Friends, is that how you are? Because he trusted him to the grace of God. And what happened? The grace of God worked in the son, in with the pig's will. Hey, I need to go back to my father. And the son found grace. Father covered him with grace when he came back, didn't he? He gave the son his inheritance. Again. So here's the thing. Maybe we can disagree. I'm not sure. I think relationship is more important than truth in certain circumstances. Okay? So I would find there would be some church leaders whose children have not followed God. And so they would say, okay, you're not following God. You live in this situation. I disown you. I think relationship's more important than the truth. And as we engage with different people that come into the... Okay, Lord, help us steer through relationship and truth, because Jesus was grace and truth. But I think sometimes we've got to build on relationship and save the argument for someone else. So maybe you have some unbelievers in your family. It's going to be a tense household if every Sunday lunchtime you try to prove to them from Matthew or John that Jesus is the Messiah. I think sometimes you say, okay, we're going to build with relationship. And we'll let God worry about the grace and the salvation. Or maybe there's your spouse. And it, okay, secret verses keep appearing under the bathroom door. I don't know. Okay, let's go for relationship and trust the grace for someone else. It doesn't mean we don't deliver the truth, but I think you understand. Paul went for a relationship here. Paul kept his eye, even with wolves. He trusted them to God's grace. The alternative is control, no growth, and not completing the mission. Last few things there. Apostolic mission, ending, it was hard work. Paul says, I provided for you. I provided for myself. I have a realistic sense of what I needed. I've not coveted silver and gold. You know, limits, financial limits can be a helpful ending. But now we don't need to have fun, because like we can borrow again on the house and we can get whatever that thing is, you know, get your money back from the house. You watch the adverts on telly. What's it called, Gareth? Equity release. Okay, so now we can have money whenever we like. We don't need to be limited. We can have more money. Let's get some more credit cards. Friends, we like jump over those endings too. It's okay, we're maxed out. Let's see if we can... Paul says, I've been wise, I've provided. You see, I think we see endings as separate from the work of Jesus. I think we see ending as obstacles to be avoided rather than embraced. I do. This ending for Paul, a church close to his heart, Ephesus, it had grown, it had thrived, but he trusted it to the grace of God. The word of God. He trusted the leaders. He released them and they wept bitterly. So, as I finish, I wonder, perhaps you would think this week, here's a question that I've asked myself. There's a book, Emotionally Healthy Leadership, really, really good book. I commend it. So one of the questions he asks is, how do you see endings modeled as a child? Spend some time this week reflecting. How did my family of origin, my mum, dad, how did they model endings? It may be when there was ending, there was an explosion and there was always blame. It's someone else's fault. Maybe it's your fault. You never did it enough. Maybe the opposite to explosion, they withdrew. Endings were painful, so you just don't talk. Okay, it's like a family sealed secret. We do not talk about endings. Maybe it was something in between. How did you see endings modeled? And then sometimes, there's a little bit of an echo in me of that. Another thing, why do I find it so hard to let go in this situation? And friends, I want to invite you to ask that question of someone that is close, that loves you enough to give you the truthful answer. Why do I find it so hard to let go? Do I find it so? Would you tell me where you see me modeling control rather than release? Oh, man. I'm going to take the week off. No, not really. Okay, so where we started is, what do I have faith for in my current situation? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's read from Acts 20, verse 25. It's not up on the screen. But this is Paul. He says, now I know that none of you among whom I've gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. They won't spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give them to receive. When he said this, he knelt down with all of them and they prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him. They kissed him. And what grieved them most was his statement, they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Man, can we pray? So Jesus, I come to you. Well, I find endings tough. Well, I find some things I like to just keep near me and keep an eye on, Lord. But I know that to grow as men and women, Lord, that this is a moment of freedom for us as a church, stepping out of not being controlled. And so, Father, I ask, complete your work this morning of the word of your grace. Lord, in a sense, on behalf of the team, Lord, I want to launch, Lord, 100 ships setting sail, blown by the Spirit, compelled by the Spirit into business and education and nursing and all the rest in between. Father, I want to release ships into kids' ministry, youth ministry, seniors, Lord, praying for the sick, Lord, all of that. Oh, God, much bigger than ourselves, or much more than we can organize. Father, come and breathe on Open Door. Lord, a sense, Lord, of maturity. Lord, a sense of mobilizing. Lord, a sense of each of us stepping out across the room, finding fresh faith, coming running back and saying, look at what God has done. He was faithful. Jesus, come. Jesus, come.
It's helpful sometime to look over the whole service. And actually, today reflects the passage that Adrian spoke from. And if you go home and read that passage, you'll find in there a word that appears more times in that passage than probably any other time in any passage in the book of Acts. And it's the word I. I. It's one of the few times in the book of Acts where Paul talks I. And today has been very much for us as a people, but for each one of us as individuals. One of the key songs we sang in the worship was I Will Sing Through the Storm. And each storm is completely individual. You can't live through the storm that I've had this week. I was hoping to move house, and that's not going to happen for another two or three weeks, and that was a bit of a storm. When Liz brought her word, it was about God saying to her, what have you got to say thanks for? It was about I. And as Adrian spoke, today was a bit like a shotgun, and a whole load of stuff has gone out. And for some of it, some of you have sat there like me thinking, yeah, what's that on? What's he on about there? But other bits of it have really penetrated. And what I want us to do now is to just stand very quietly for a couple of minutes before God and say, God, what is it you are saying to me? What is it that I take home today? Because today has been about us as individuals. Sometimes our meetings are about us as a body. But today has been about me, about I. So I'd just like to ask if you can stand, and we're just going to have 2 minutes. If you feel tired, please feel free to sit down. But just ask the question, God, what have you said to me this morning?